Welcome to the Thrive TV Show with Lauren Parsons, helping you boost your health, energy, and productivity.
Kia ora koutou and welcome to another episode of the Thrive TV Show. I'm Lauren Parsons, your host, and today I'm joined by Wick Nixon in Auckland, New Zealand. Welcome, Wick.
Thanks, Lauren. It's really exciting to be here.
Lovely to have you here, and she's the founder of Wicked Wellbeing, and today we're talking about what is group medicine and why is it important for your health. So I hadn't heard of this term before, and I love the sound of it, so I'm really excited. But Wick, before we get into that, can I just ask you my this and that questions?
Of course.
So tell me, mountaintop or beachfront?
Beachfront.
Nice. Would you rather be a dragon or a unicorn?
Oh, a unicorn.
Okay, nice. Fresh salad or hot vegetables?
Fresh salad, for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Salad, Rome or Paris?
Oh, Paris.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Introvert or extrovert?
I think I'm a bit of both. Like my own time, but also then really like being around other people, but then need time to recharge my batteries.
Nice. Okay. Spots or stripes?
Spots.
And last one, cats or dogs?
Yeah, I was thinking about this one too. I would say I am probably more of a cat person, even though we've got both.
Yes, I thought you had both. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Aww, it's hard to choose, isn't it?
It is.
So just to tell you a bit more about Wick, Wick Nixon is from Wicked Wellbeing. She's a passionate foodie whose mission in life is to motivate, support, and guide people to on their quest to make nutritious and delicious choices. More than that, Wick wants to support you to achieve a balanced lifestyle where you make your own health a priority with less stress and way more appreciation. So we're very in sync. If you're feeling frustrated or overwhelmed, or you just don't know where to start and you want to know how to make it easier, then join us for this chat where we're going to talk about what Wick has discovered is a key component to your success. She's a mother of three teenagers and she understands the challenges you face when you're trying to balance it all in a busy life. So Wick, just start by telling us a bit about how did you get into what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I grew up actually not far from you, Lauren. I know you're in Palmerston North. I grew up in Dannevirke, or just out of Dannevirke on a farm. And I have always been really, really passionate about food and cooking. And then as I got older, it got healthier and healthier. Then as I had my kids, I realized how important it was to nourish them with, you know, homemade whole foods. Now, they, as you said, they're teenagers now, so I don't know if they kind of appreciate that as much. They now make their own choices, they earn their own money. So I now come from a place of leading by example and just hoping that they will come around. I've got, you know, I've got three, two of them are great, one, you know, hopefully she'll come around.
I think it's really... You're very down to earth in all the things that you share, you know. We can't be perfect that's such a thing. So,
yes.
Yeah, I love it.
And I think that we're kind of experts in our field. Like I'm really good with food. I'm really good with exercise. But there are other areas of my life that you'll be, you know, experts, or people that are listening will be experts at, that will be able to help me.
It's nice. Yeah. And I think, yeah, it just shows that being open to learning, which is obviously we're preaching to the converter because those that are listening in are open to learning. So so tell us about this, well, for me, new concept of, tell me all about what is.
Okay. So I discovered this concept about a year ago, probably even less than that. And I was listening to, have you heard of Dr. Chatterjee?
Yes.
He's got the Feel Better, Live More podcast. And he was doing an interview with James Maskell and on this concept of group medicine. And it's something that I hadn't heard of before. Now, I've got a little description here that I'm going to read for you. It's where a group of like-minded people come together in a mutual support system where everyone shares a common goal, where the power is in the accountability and support structures that have been set up to create change.
Yeah, no.
Right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. It makes sense and you can see it. I mean, what jumps to mind is I can see it it's interesting. It's three things that we've both been doing over the years, and now we've got a name for it, because I just often see, that's why I love group coaching programs. I do a lot of leadership coaching with groups now, because when you bring a group of leaders together, they can actually learn so much from each other. They don't need to just learn from me, and it's more about facilitating that process and letting them share, you know, their experiences, their wins, their, you know, their celebrations, their failures, their learnings. So when you have that common goal, that's, I guess, the thing that brings it together. Yeah.
And so to give an example, like you've just given a couple of examples, AA is another group, medicine. You know, there's people who want the same outcome who have come together, and there's a support and an accountability network. Right. There's even Facebook groups are a type of group medicine. Like you might have a group where a gluten-free group, everyone is in there for the same outcome. Or you might have a running group. Everyone wants the same outcome. And it's that group medicine of all being together, wanting that same outcome, which is the power of what that looks like. Yeah.
Right. And so tell me, you know, if people are wanting to start getting involved in group medicine, where should they start off?
Yeah, so the first thing you need to work out is, what change do you want to make? And then you ask yourself, is your current support network or group of friends supporting those outcomes, right? Because a lot of us go, and, you know, you and I being in the health field with our clients that we work with, they want to make a change with their health. Often our friends can be the ones that can hold us back or pull us down, because you're wanting to change, but they're not actually ready to change. They don't want to give their wines up on a Friday night or every night, or they don't want to get out and start walking or running. So often they can hold you back. Now, so it's looking at your current environment, your current network, and asking, do they support your goals? Now, what that doesn't mean is that you need to ditch your current friend group, because if they don't, because friends have played all different roles in our lives. And so they are there for, you know, totally different reasons. But if health is an outcome that you want to improve your fitness or eat healthier or, you know, just whatever it looks like for you, if that's a change you want to make, make a decision on what that is, right? Yeah. So that would be the first thing. And then find a network. You might want to start a craft. So if you want to start a pottery class, for example, you're not going to go to a running group. You're going to go to a pottery group who already has the success that you're looking for and can help you get there quicker and in an easier way than you trying to work it out yourself.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think, you know, the key is, we're all relational beings, aren't we? We all need each other and we need connection. And I love that. Yeah,
this makes me think
of so many different groups. And I just finished a book last night, and even in the acknowledgements, it was this amazing author. It was actually a teen future dystopia book my kids had read, and I was reading as well. And she just talked about the people that have influenced her. And I think the thing is that you don't even need to sometimes meet them. You know, she was talking about J.K. Rowling and J.R. Tolkien and all these people that have influenced her. And I know Brené Brown talks about the people that have influenced her life, and some of them she's never met. She's just read their book. I think it's, to me, it's bringing to mind the fact that, yes, it's who do you spend time with? It's also who do you listen to? What podcasts are you listening to? What TED Talks are you watching? What books are you reading? All of those things. But even better, the people that you meet up with. And it reminds me as well of one of my great bosses, Steve Barry, many years ago in Christchurch. He taught me that principle that you are, you know, the average of the five people that you spend the most time with, an old saying.
Yes.
And, you know, it made me think, oh, wow, you know, who am I spending time with? Who's influencing me? Yes. Who am I listening to? Yes. As you say, doesn't mean you ditch your family and friends necessarily overnight, but think about, who do you want to connect with?
And the other thing is that, and the pandemic and our current social environment at the moment, well, you know, where we're at, is that a lot of people are a lot lonelier than what we used to be. Yeah. And so it's like finding a group that supports that loneliness. One statistic that this podcast shared was that one in four teenagers, because often we might think it's like from 50 to 70 that you get lonely. That's, you know, the lonely age, because your kids kind of
leave home,
and then you're like, what's that next stage? But the statistics said that 1 in 4 teenagers can't even say that they've got one close friend.
Yeah.
Which is really, really sad. And that's due to, you know, social media, the pandemic, that isolation, that loneliness, which is just something that we just need to be so aware of, and not only for ourselves, but our kids, getting them into something that they really love that is actually offline and out of the house.
Yeah.
And that's harder said than done.
Totally. It absolutely is. Yeah. And there's so much value that I often talk about, you know, if you want to add more movement into your life, you know that I talk about snacking on exercise, putting it in short ways. But actually, one of the most valuable strategies is to take up active hobbies. So, you know, think about, what if you could take up rock climbing, geocaching, or ballroom dancing, or whatever it is, because then you're going to start shoulders, you know, going along to a walking club or a tramping club. Like, my mum was very invested in the tramping club, and so she's got this amazing network of friends. They meet up weekly, they do overnight tramps and day tramps, and it's just something that you don't even have to think about. It, you're going to naturally be, you know, boosting your well-being in so many ways by getting together with other people and being active and being outdoors and sunlight and all those things. So I think it's something we don't often strategically think about, and certainly as teenagers, you know, there's such an addictive pull of all of the media devices. We're just heading into those 10 years with my eldest too.
What are you?
Yeah. So, and it's interesting. And as you say, it's not always easy. One thing I often get asked, well, how do I influence my teenagers to do this? And the one thing that I've found is finding someone that someone they look up to, that's like a hero in their life, whether that's a sporting person or a musician,
even
an older cousin, an older person in their life.
Yeah.
But someone that's got some good healthy habits, and then, you know, share, Richard McCall talks about the importance of having a vision, of being persevering, of getting good sleep, or whatever those things are. And hopefully that person can inspire them, because they don't always want to listen to mum or auntie. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the other thing that James talks about in this podcast is bringing, like, he's created these groups, and he goes to a men's group. Right. And it's just a group where they get together. It could be weekly or monthly, and they just talk. And it means that they're not necessarily offloading to their partners or their wives. And it just really made me think about putting a group together of women where it's not about business, it's not about health, it's not about being, it's not me where I'm the expert, it's not you where you're the expert. I'm just a participant in sharing what life challenges are coming up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, that's group medicine in itself. So it's just overall, it's such a powerful concept that can show up in so many different ways.
I've got a friend who actually had a friend of his who was his dedicated listener. And he was actually a friend who was in Australia. And they would just catch up maybe once every month or two over the phone and just share what was really going on. And he said that this friend was so good, because he would call him on anything that was just like, no, that's rubbish, you don't really mean that. What's really going on, or how do you feel about them? It'd be like, oh, yeah, actually, I feel, you know, disheartened about this, or whatever it is. So having those people that we can actually go to, which isn't always easy, as you said, there are still a lot of people that don't feel they've got that one close friend. And I think, you know, that could be its whole own podcast, is how do we, you know, nurture and build those relationships?
Often I think we need to feel like we are showing up as being the martyr, and I'm the perfect, you know, I'm a great mum, I've got it all together, and I've got my health and well-being together. But actually, as you said, when you can be vulnerable, which I am open and honest, because it makes other people realise that they're not alone. And that's why I do share openly about challenges that are going on, because nobody has got their life sorted. It's just those social highlight reels, man, they just really do my head in.
I know.
That's what I really try and break down.
It's really difficult not to be hypocritical, isn't it? Because I know that I'm on social. I often recommend to clients, you know, limit your social media time. You don't necessarily have to cut it off altogether, but do have some constraints around it. because it is just that highlight reel. And we know the studies will show it increases anxiety, depression, that it, you know, it leads us to that comparison game. And there's always going to be someone ahead of you, and there's always going to be someone that's following along in different things and different areas of your life. And yeah, we certainly haven't got it all together. So I do try and make an effort of sharing, you know, just random things that have gone wrong or failures. And
yes,
because I think it is encouraging to others around us. But I realize the hypocrisy of the fact that I've got all these, you know, professional photos out there and it all looks amazing, but we have to remember that everyone wears that mask to a certain extent of putting out our perception. And yeah, when we look through those highlight reels, often it's people kind of trying to console themselves and almost,
yes,
you know, but it, yes, yeah, it's something we really need to teach the next generation to wrap their head around, I think, isn't it? Mm.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So if someone's, you know, getting started, or say they've identified that goal that they have, where would you recommend they then start out? What's sort of the next step to create some group medicine around them?
So it would be, as you say, identifying what area that is. And then it might be a Facebook group, or it might be a local community, or a course, you know, if you're wanting to learn about, you know, something in business, or, you know, it might be gluten-free, I don't know, whatever it is, that then there is a support. And often with a course, there's a support network that goes with it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just doing a little bit of research. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to start something new, because life can just go so quickly. And if you're not feeling, if you're feeling lonely, or you're just not feeling like you've found your people, or you've found your tribe, then this is a really great way to actually find your tribe of people, because they'll be like-minded people who already are interested in what you're interested in, and probably, you know, a couple of steps ahead of you who can help you.
Yeah.
So that's just what I could, that's what I would suggest, is to just do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
You know, there's local communities. If you like knitting, there's like, or crocheting, there's like knitting and crocheting community groups that you can go and join. Mm. And no longer is knitting and crocheting for the over 70s. There's
no,
like,
absolutely,
it's very hip.
Yeah, it very totally. Hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So that, really that would be my my advice.
Yeah. One thing I found, because I'm a member of Toastmasters, and the brilliant thing is it's international, and it has, its, back to your definition, it talks about that there was some structure to the way that that group is formed. And Toastmasters is very structured. You know, there's lots of clapping and encouragement, and it's very much a place for either experienced speakers or total beginners to all come along, to practice, to get better, to be open to learning. And what I loved was when we moved from New Zealand to Canberra, Australia, and to Ottawa, Canada, I went to a Toastmasters meeting, and I felt like I'd come home. It was like all of this, you know, acknowledgement. And I was the only guest in this particular meeting. I remember the day in Ottawa to this day, and just felt so welcomed and loved and encouraged. And so it's nice,
exactly,
I think, when you can become part of a part of a group. And I know the feeling of being hesitant, because I was always the shy, unsporty kid at school.
Yeah.
Still actually feel really nervous getting involved in things. Recently we went to this holiday camp with lots of other families, and they had a table tennis competition, and I was kind of at the side thinking, I'd quite like to give that a go, but I'm really useless at table tennis. And so anyway, I sort of said, is it too late to join in? And anyway, they kind of set me up with this other lady to play, and so there I was playing, and, you know, ended up losing, but I didn't lose too badly, but it was just a joy to be part of it. But it did take a bit of courage on my part to take that step, but I was so pleased I did, because otherwise I would have just sat back on, as a wallflower, and kind of felt, you know, I'd let that opportunity go by. So I would just encourage people that are listening in to choose to be courageous, to take the first step. Hey,
it's also really important for your kids to see that too. If you know, if they were looking, and it's like having an open conversation with them afterwards and saying, I was actually really nervous about that, but I thought I really wanted to do it, and what, you know, what did I have to lose?
Yes.
If I didn't, I didn't win, it doesn't matter. I had fun. And that's the most important part. And the other thing is that if you can't find, like, in person is ideal, right? Because that's when you get that connection. But if you can't find something in person, and online is easier, it's more accessible, it may be more economical, depending on what you choose to do, then go for that option. And then there might be an in-person opportunity that comes out of it. Don't, you know, just look for the look for the wins and the opportunities that come out of it rather than the barriers that stop you moving forward.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah, fantastic. And so just to come back to, you know, I guess the reason behind it all, I know, Wick, that you talked about the fact that the people with influence are habits. So do you want to perhaps just share a bit more about that or give an example of, I don't know, if there's a group you've been part of or seen clients part of, and just how that rub-off effect happens in terms of influencing your day-to-day habits?
A group, not something that I have just, you know, I've got an, for example, I've got an online group. And I just know that when I get new members come in, the members who have been in it for a while, they're really supportive and encouraging, and they kind of lead the way, right? Yeah. So that would be an example. I'm part of a tennis club, and I just know that when I joined the club, everyone was really welcoming and, you know, inviting, because they know what it's like to join something new and feel like the new person. I think just decide, find a group, and just start.
Yeah.
And start small. I often talk about the clients that I work with, is that one area that women can, well, not I, I work with women, but it's the same for everyone, is that people try and overhaul too many things at once, and I'm sure that you come across this. And then they get really upset with themselves and go, why didn't I succeed with that? And, oh, I just feel so shitty because I wasn't able to keep it going. And it's because they tried to overhaul everything at once. I would just start with one or two just simple habits, and that you can change, and then start introducing other things. But in terms of the group medicine thing, just start, find, and take action. Seriously.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as well, I often talk about when you try new things, treat it as an experiment. And if you find you don't love it after you've done it for 10 weeks, then, you know, just try something else. It's not the end of the world. Exactly. And I think, you know, to me, it just seems so clearly obvious that if you're spending time with people who go out geocaching regularly and you start planning trips away and you start getting outdoors and moving, you just look forward to that. And so it makes it, those habit choices easier to make. If you're part of the tennis club, maybe I will do a bit of practice just to, I'm ready for the game on the weekend. And so it just becomes a natural part of life, rather than feeling like, oh, this is something I've got to put on my to-do list. I've got to get out, go somewhere and get change, which, you know, I'm all about. How do we simplify things so they're just part of life and we love them?
Yes. And the other thing that I did over the past couple of years is that I've gone on to the volunteer art show committee for my kids' school. Nice. So I, you know, great group of women, and now they're a walking group, you know, and that wasn't the intention, but there's only four of us, but that is group medicine. So it doesn't need to be a big group. It can be, you know, little, or it can be a few people. It's just that concept of find a group that has what you want, and they will help you to get it faster.
Yeah, I love it. That just reminds me as well of many years ago, actually, my daughter's 12 now, so it must be just about 11 years ago, I started a walking group in a suburb in Palmerston North called Hokafitu. It's the name of the suburb. Yeah. And so we called it the Hot Fitu Chicks. It's sort of spelt almost the same. Hot Fitu Chicks. And we got some pink t-shirts made up, and it was a, you know, gold coin for breast cancer. And we met up at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning and just did a lovely flat walk for an hour, and then come back, meet at a cafe and socialise. And what's amazing, because I moved away a year later and they kept going and they kept going. Yes. And now I just go in and I'm like a guest visitor sometimes, but that group is still going. There's still a core group of about a dozen ladies.
That's amazing.
Meet virtually every week, you know, and we just say we meet rain or shine, you know. And it is, I loved creating that, because it was this group medicine in action, and it was outdoors, movement, sunlight, conversation, connection, which is so positive.
All of that.
Regularity, even if you're away a week, you know. And so they've gone through births and deaths and babies and grandbabies and moving house and got to share in all of that. And it's just amazing when you bring those communities together. So,
and they're raising funds for an amazing cause
as well, which is just a bonus. So
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've loved talking about this concept, and it just highlights so many opportunities. So Wick, if people wanted to find out more about you, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, they can head to my website, wickedwellbeing.com. So that's just Wicked and Wellbeing. And you can grab my ebook that is there. Have a look around, got lots of delicious recipes, because ultimately at the end of the day, I'm a super passionate foodie. And it's just, but I'm a kind of looking at all different, the holistic, you know, health and wellbeing, and food's a big part of that. Yeah. But yeah, otherwise they can follow me on my Facebook and Instagram under Wicked Wellbeing.
Yeah, perfect. Lovely. So if you're watching or listening into this, make sure you do head to thrivetvshow.com, and then you'll be able to see all the show notes down below with all the links so you can reach out to Wick as well. So just to wrap up, one final question that's just, if there's something else you want to share with our listeners today, Wick, what would that be?
Don't just listen to this episode and go, oh, that was really interesting. Oh, that concept was great, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Take action, because anything that I do, I want you to walk away and take action. So just work out what it is. It's the start of the year, it is for us, and just find what it is and then just make a change. That was a little bit,
it's good, that's really good, and it's that, make that one small change,
take action. Yeah, one small change. Yes,
I love it. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to connect again, and yeah, just to talk about something I think is, a as you say, a really great way to start the year, picturing who do you want to surround yourself with, what do you want to achieve, and absolutely it's going to make a difference. So thank you so much, Wick.
Awesome, thanks for having me, Lauren. Lovely to chat.
Lovely. So thanks for listening. That's been another episode of the Thrive TV Show. Go out and thrive.
Thank you for listening to the Thrive TV Show with Lauren Parsons. Visit thrivetvshow.com to access the show notes and discover our fantastic bonus content. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next inspiring episode.